Amazon Five Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And we're headed to Supreme Court decisions in conversation about taxes. Taxes proposed by the Biden administration and the majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, and also at the G20, the meeting in Rome. These are large-scale plans to raise revenue to pay for programs. The G20 meeting talked about a global minimum tax. The Biden administration is talking about taxing companies who make more than, who are appreciate of more than $1 billion or more than $100 million in income at a set period, a 15% minimum tax. There is also a tax proposed in the Senate about taxing the most wealthy on their unrealized gains. These are moving stories, but Richard is speaking in general of taxes that are applied to wealth, that is capital, and not to income. Richard, a very good evening to you. Let's first speak of the genius of the flat tax and how all of this would go away if America would move to a flat tax. What is the flat tax before we discuss what the Biden administration is looking to do? Good evening to you.
A flat tax simply says that the rate of taxation that you pay is constant no matter how much money you earn. So if you earn, you have a 10% flat tax and you earn $100, you pay $10. If you have a 10% flat tax and you earn $1 million, you pay $100,000. The flat tax obviously goes up with wealth, but it doesn't rise disproportionately as it does under progressive tax, where the more you get, the higher you pay. Now, what is the advantage of this particular situation is in many ways described in a couple of ways. First of all, there's simplicity. You don't have to figure out what the brackets are. You don't have to worry where the discontinuities are going to take place. You don't have to worry about whether people want to split income between two people and get the benefit of lower rates. None of that really matters because whether you earn a great deal or a little, it turns out everything's the same. So what it does is it tends to reduce the tendency for people to engage in highly expensive and economically destructive behavior. The second thing that this flat tax does, in addition to its administrative simplicity, is it means you can't start to play favorites with one group or another. You can't start to give exemptions. You can't start to put premium taxes on things. So you're not only worried about the way individuals work, you're worried about the way in which it applies to corporations of one form or another. And the more you can get rid of that kind of game playing, the smoother the political process will work. So that if, in fact, you want to raise the tax on the rich, you have to agree to raise the tax on your wealth, on yourself. The people will generally say wealth is worth less to richer people than it is to a poor person. And that means that when you start to raise the tax on the rich person by $1,000 and a poor person by $10, it turns out that $10 bite is going to be pretty severe. And so they're going to be a little bit cautious about imposing the particular tax in question. So what this happens is it put a flat tax on it. It also means that economic activity is going to run much more smoothly because the rate of return that you get is not going to be dependent upon odd factors about how much wealth you have from other transactions and so forth. It also turns out, interestingly enough, that the flat tax has the following very desirable quality, which is you could raise any amount of revenue with it, so you don't have to put a maximum amount you could do. If you raise it, you raise it for everybody. You lower it, you lower it for everybody. There's actually some redistribution in a flat tax because as people start to get richer, it turns out they do less and less from the government is that they're going to get. The police protection matters as much for your bodily safety as it does for your wealth. And poor people may have very little capital, but they certainly have a very great interest in the protection of their body. So you get some redistribution that's relatively stable. Indeed, in the First Amendment area where people actually do care about preferences from one group to another, there's very nice opinion by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, now close to 40 years ago, in which she says you can't tax big newspapers at more progressive rates than small ones. You don't want to create those kinds of shifts back and forth. My view is what she said. It was quite right about the situation with respect to speech, but it should apply more generally to all forms of property. So I've actually put this forward as a constitutional proposal as a way to present redistribution, and then you combine it with a limit on the kinds of things that you could spend money for. Well, general welfare of the United States doesn't mean transfer payments. It means public good purchase and so forth. So if you could limit the kinds of ends and if you could limit the way in which you raise the money and you put the two of them together, taxes become much less intrusive in economic affairs and everybody will benefit from the overall growth that you get from that situation.
All right. We established utopia, the flat tax. Now we move to the facts that we have. Let's begin with the global minimum tax endorsed by the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, and agreed upon at the G20 meeting in Rome, not only of those 20 countries, but 130 worldwide, maybe more now. The global minimum tax, as I understand it, is to be applied to all corporations, and there will be no more seeking of tax havens. This has also been described to me as a tax cartel, and the question I have for you is, will it, in taxing these companies in this fashion, will it inhibit growth? Will it change the posture of prosperity in the U.S. and Europe versus the prosperity in other parts of the world?
Well, I'm very negative about this. Now, the first thing to note that it is a flat tax, but it's not a flat tax on individual income. And you have no idea when you're taxing at the corporate level whether the shares you have are owned by poor people or rich people or by working people. So it's kind of hard to figure out how you make this more or less progressive. But what happens is I think that tax competition is a good thing, not a bad thing. Generally speaking, money is going to be more productive invested in private hands than in government hands. And so the moment you allow there to be competition back and forth between jurisdictions, what happens is people will start to relocate to take advantage of the low tax system. Higher levels of productivity will take place, and then you hope that there's a free trade regime out there which will allow you to buy and sell these goods across state and national lines without having to pay additional tariffs on one thing or another. So I think that generally speaking, it's bad to try to keep the taxes high because what it does is it encourages government transfer payments of one form or another, which are going to inhibit the way in which growth takes place. It also turns out to be extremely difficult to administer something like this because what we have in the tax code is not just a flat tax. We have all sorts of preferences that are given to one kind or another, special rates of depreciation for certain kinds of capital equipment or certain kinds of intangible expenses and so forth, or in certain kinds of industries. And what happens is they're trying to marry the flat tax as an abstract conception with all of these very funny situations that take place in individual countries. And if you want to allow these particular exceptions to exist, you're going to undermine the flat tax. And it's like any cartel. Somebody says, oh, I've got the benefit of the high rates. If I can cheat and do only a 14% tax, I'll get people to come to me. Then somebody else decides to cheat, and then the whole thing may break down. Then you have to try to put in guards against that. And if you remember, there was the alternative minimum tax that we had many years ago only aimed for very rich people and big corporations. And after a while, it becomes a scourge, and it kind of justifies everything. So there's a real danger that you start at this particular rate, and then you start to move to additional situations. So you have high taxes all over the world, and generally a high tax environment is going to be one in which you substitute public investment for private investment. Public investment is subject to all sorts of political distortions that, for the most part, do not exist in private investment, unless the government regulates the private investors in various ways so that they cannot function any longer as independent agents.
All right, two forms of taxation, the flat tax and the global minimum tax proposed at the G20. We're going to now turn to the proposals by the Democratic White House and the Congress about taxing wealth, taxing assets, unrealized assets. Richard Epstein is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And we're headed to Supreme Court decisions more than 100 years old. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.